Welcome to All Well Stands Radio Show. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. This is the Back to the Basics radio program, and you're either finding this program as a podcast on allwellstand.org or you're listening to it over shortwave throughout Africa. And so today we're going to talk about the Bible. And so the question is going to be there, of course, is why is the Bible different? There are a ton of religious books out there. For instance, there's the Quran. There's all sorts of different books out there that, you know, are religious. And there's other books out there that are, you know, I mean, just books, you know, historical books about how to do stuff or history or what you might have. Now, I'm a picky person when it comes to books. Very picky. So I've heard of people having quite a few books. So, but I've collected books and I have, a library. And some of these, a few of these are going to be children's titles because I have two kids. But I would say you can look at it this way. It's a lot of books to some people, not a lot to people who have a lot of books. So I have, let's say if I take away the kids, maybe around 500, you know. And I have almost all of them are nonfiction. I have, for my section, very, very small. I have a couple of fiction books. Kids, they have a lot of nonfiction. I do have some fiction, some of the literacy classics there. And I have some Charlie Brown and comics, like the old ones from the 60s. And we do monitor them. They're not perfect. But, you know, I have, I have a lot of books on history. Lots of books. I have my reference section, encyclopedia, a lot of books on, you know, I have some books on Bible study, some books on apostasy. I have different sections broken down. Some of them are just, you know, how to do this and how to do that. I've upped it recently. It's a different topic, but, you know, I mean, as the real changes and AI start to take over and some of the crazy stuff that's going on nowadays, I decided that, you know, rather than being dependent on Google, I added a few volumes of books and I just bought them used. And because clearly there is a lot of these books actually are hard to find that I own. They're really hard to find. They don't... Let me give you an example. We're going to start off talking about books, and we're going to talk about how the Bible's different. Okay. Captain James Cook. Famous, famous man. And listening to this in Africa, you should have heard of Cook. Okay. Pretty much the whole world should have heard of Cook. Cook was an explorer. He made a voyage around the world, not once, not twice. The third time he died. And anyway, so I've always enjoyed reading books about exploration. So I have, you know, Christian explorers. I have David Livingstone, and I found his books unabridged, a couple, and on his one website. And I really wanted the unabridged because I had a little one, like a little paperback one on him, maybe 100 and some pages. And I read that when I was younger, just something you can pick up from like a Christian bookstore. And it was interesting, but I mean, this man, you know, he went into Africa. He was the first white man going to Africa, beginning to preach the gospel, and he made it all the way to Lake Victoria. And all throughout Africa, dedicated his life. He was not he pushed and was responsible for ending slavery in the United Kingdom. He was hardcore anti-slavery. He saw the horrors firsthand. And the thing about Livingstone is I really want to know more about him, so I managed to find his books on a bridge. I forget the name of his website, but if I went and looked at the book, it wouldn't matter. I did go and look at the book. I can't remember the name of it because I had bought in, I had looked at other offerings that they had, and I had another guy who went to Africa. I think his name was probably Charles Stanley, maybe. I don't think that's it, but Stanley. Anyway, he went there, and I've read his accounts, or his account. It's fascinating. And anyway, my point is, so from the same website years ago, I had bought this book about Captain James Cook. And I wasn't really that interested in, you know, seafaring, that type of stuff. It doesn't interest me as much as somebody who has, you know, hands-on, jumping in, boots on the ground, going into places where no one's ever been, doing exploring, especially preaching the gospel. It's great. But actually, Cook, while not from a Christian perspective, as a missionary perspective, but the fact he actually did some of that stuff, which was kind of interesting. But anyway, I guess to make a long story short, I read the book recently, and it was interesting. And I'm like, wow, I really want to know about his second voyage, and I didn't know what that one was. And so, you know, there's so many offerings out there, and I couldn't find, like, trying to find. So his second voyage, and I haven't read the book yet. It's in two parts, two books, and couldn't find it. I think it was the first one or second one. It's really hard to find. They're both hard to find, but one is like impossible almost. Finally, I found a copy of it, and two of them. And they had to be printed on demand, so it'd be like a month before you get them. And it was like $80-some, which is absolutely ridiculous. And my sister had given me $25 gift card for my birthday. And so I actually managed to find it on eBay, somebody having them, and they were the unabridged versions, and one was made by one publisher and the second one made by somebody else, but they were older, and I ended up getting them. They're nice clean cut copies, and it was just underneath $24, which is pretty reasonable. And so that's the type of stuff I see is and there's a lot of truths in these books. There's a lot of firsthand stuff, and it honestly, if I were to have something that God wanted me to preach before a group of people on the radio or, you know, in person here in Rapid City or somewhere else, there's a lot of valuable lessons you can use from to understand people from even what James Cook wrote with some of his dealings, because you can see his observations and I can see it in Rapid City. I can see it in places I've lived in the past. It's a lot the same. So it's useful. I find it useful, even though it's not written from a Christian perspective. But my point is, there's a lot of truth in these books, and there's a lot of people who literally, this book shouldn't be hard to get, and they make it very hard to get. And it's intentional. It's intentional. So, the point being here is the Bible is the ultimate truth. These books have bits and pieces of truth, a lot of unknown, and I have a lot of books like that. A lot of interesting things. But there's a lot of things that, you know, don't have the actual eternal truths that people need. So where do people turn? And I've said this before, the only thing we can know for sure is what God has in his Bible. A good copy of the Bible, something that's translated properly. Something like, if you are an English speaker, the King James Version, I use that. I also use, regularly use what's called the VW Edition. It's from a Voice in the Wilderness ministry, my dear friend who's now home with the Lord. And you can download a copy of either of those right on the website on Books and Bible. Click on that link, and that's on allwhalestand.org. So you can go ahead and download that for free, either of those. And then, you know, I don't know what type of versions are available in some of the African languages and the faithfulness to translating them properly. You know, there's good Spanish works, you know, so I don't know what other languages have. But it's definitely something you do want a good copy of it. And, but anyway, the difference is the Bible is God's word to mankind. That means it's God's word to you. And if you don't know how to read, nowadays, if you understand English, which if you're listening to the show, I'm presuming you understand enough. You know, there are software you can find online or stuff where you can find online, audio Bibles, You could purchase an audio Bible. You could listen to audio Bible online and listen to it. And if you do know how to read, well, you really ought to find yourself a copy of the Bible if you don't own it really fast. And you ought to be reading it because this is not a book. I might find reading stuff about, you know, Captain Cook's, I'm sure his second voyage around the world is going to be quite interesting. And for the record, I'm probably not going to buy the third. Kind of a tragic end to the explorer. He was killed in Hawaii by natives. What was not Hawaii at the time, but and his expedition ended up being fulfilled, and they were looking for a Northwest Passage is what they were looking for. So I don't find that quite as interesting because it wasn't more so exploring. It was a little bit of exploring, looking for that Northwest Passage, but not like, you know, like they knew relatively where they were. It's not like looking for, you know, a continent that doesn't exist, which is quite interesting, especially when Cook never really believed that it was there. So, but the point is the Bible's different. So let's go ahead and get into the Bible and see what God's word says about this. So we're going to take a look at just two passages of scripture here. That's it. Okay. So the first one we're going to look at is found in the book of 2 Timothy. It's in the New Testament, and it's chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, so there is never going to be more Bible written. The Bible is 66 books between the Old and New Testament. That is the complete Bible. It does not include the Apocrypha. It should not. A lot of Bibles do if they're Catholic, but a believer should stay away from the Apocrypha. However, with that said, there will never be anything else. What is there in the Bible, for instance, the King James Bible or the VW Bible, both of which you can download for free off the website, that's it. That's the Bible. That is God's word. That is God used men to write these. Let's go over that and explain how that works, and I'll let the Bible explain that. So we're going to take a look at, I'm going to start with 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. And we also have a more sure word of prophecy, which you do well to heed as to a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this verse, that not any of the prophecies of Scripture came into being from personal exposition. For prophecy was not formally brought forth by man's choice, but holy men of God spoke as they were propelled along by the Holy Spirit. Okay. That is how the Scriptures were written, is God used certain men to write Scriptures. The Bible is an amazing book. It is God's word. You have a book that is written over a long course of time, over a couple thousand years. And you can start with, we'll just go off of how the Bible starts, with the book of Genesis, and it ends in the book of Revelation. And these are written by different men that God used throughout a large span of time. And they are in 100% agreement. The Bible has prophecy. There are over 300 prophecies that were written about Jesus in his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. And they were written in the Old Testament. And you can see the fulfillment of all those in the New Testament. And it's not like there's a couple here that didn't get fulfilled. No, they all got fulfilled. And then just like the Bible, we can see prophecy talking about the future of mankind, the time of Jacob's trouble, better known as the tribulation, a very dark time period that will be coming upon the earth whenever God deems it's coming, something that may very well be coming quite soon. And you have to understand that that's the difference. So the Bible's making a claim that no one else makes. Other books have truth. There are truths in the Quran. There are truths in other religious writings. There are truths in books, good books. There are truths in encyclopedias. And certainly there are many things that are true. If the encyclopedia, if you're looking up the sky and it says the sky is blue, well, certainly that is true. But where we run into a problem here is there's a truth that we need to know, that you need to know. And it's very important. Why is the Bible so important? Well, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this a judgment," verse 28, "so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time without sin unto salvation." So, the Bible has the words of life. The Bible tells men that there is a judgment coming. The Bible tells mankind the gospel, how to be saved. The Bible goes over these things. The Bible explains God, who God is, talks about God as our creator, talks about God being part of the Trinity, talks about his son Jesus Christ, talks about the Holy Spirit. These things are only found in the Bible. If in a second, in an instant, if I had somebody came in and they had a gun and they're like, "Look, I'm taking you away. You may take one book. That's it." I would grab a Bible. I need nothing else. That right there alone would keep me busy until the day I died, studying and learning God's word, because the Holy Spirit teaches. It teaches those who are his. And it also points people in the right direction who are truly seeking after God. And that's the key here, is when we're looking at our lives and we're looking at it from the perspective of who are we, why are we here, what am I supposed to be doing? Most people in any religion believe in some sort of afterlife. What is the true facts? What is the truth? Who should I follow? Who should I believe? Then you have the Bible that makes the claim, this is from your creator. This book is from God Almighty. This book is from the one that you will stand before individually and give account to. So here you are, you're hearing this show, and that's great, because that's what you want to do, is you want to get some answers and you want to get in the right direction. Well, so that's a problem here that people don't realize, especially people in many things. And now there's people who realize that, hey, you know, the Bible is God's word, And they like to just twist it and have bad versions and not believe what it says. And that's a totally different issue. So, knowing, though, that the Bible is God's word, there are people who are bad. Bad people. And they know it. They know the claims that the Bible is God's word. They know that Christians claim it. And while it's not such it's not something that's necessarily for most pastors beat down to that much. I mean, there's a lot of pastors who don't believe the book of Genesis and such. The Bible is also a book that is God's word that is under attack and has been under attack heavily for a couple hundred years or so, and it hasn't fallen. So people try to disprove God's word because the Bible makes the claims. You will never see such an attack against the Quran. You will never see such an attack against any other religious writing. Oddly enough, it's just the Bible that has this nonstop assault from everything from evolution is how mankind came out to be. The whole point of that argument is for people who don't want to believe the Bible. Why? Why wouldn't you want to believe the Bible? Well, here's why. Here's one reason that I think that many people don't. They have a life They want to live it how they want. They do not want to be accountable to God. They do not want to repent of their sin. They want to continue doing things just as they are. And therefore, they know that if the Bible were true, that their lifestyle, their behavior, their sin, that they're going to be held accountable and they're going to be thrown into hell for all eternity, as the Bible says. And the things that they enjoy doing that the Bible condemns, and there's a laundry list of them, and you'll fill in your blank, whatever vice or sin that somebody might have. Well, what tells them it's a vice or sin? What tells them that it's right or wrong? Well, the Bible does. And so for them, that's a problem. So let's go ahead and we're going to take a look at the Bible talking about one of these things before it was ever a problem like it is now, and it started in the 1800s largely. And we're going to go ahead and go over Romans chapter 1 and let the Bible explain itself and explain one aspect of this attack that is on God's word and they use, and you should be able to understand this. So Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his holy prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and defined as the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by any means now at last I may prosper by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be strengthened. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was prevented unto now, that I might have some fruit among you, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who is believing, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For it is written, for it is in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, even as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is clearly recognized by them, for God has revealed it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, the unseen things of him are clearly perceived, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they know God, they do not glorify him as God, nor are thankful, but become vain in their reasonings, and their stupid hearts are darkened. Professing to be wise, they become foolish, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, in birds, in four-footed animals, in creeping things. Therefore God also gives them up to uncleanness, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who change the truth of God into a lie, in fear and serve the created things more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gives them up to vile passions, for even the women change the natural use for what is contrary to nature. Likewise also the men, abandoning the natural use of the woman, burning their lust towards one another, men with men, performing what is shameful, and receiving the retribution within themselves, the penalty which is fitting for their error. And even as they do not like to have God in their full, true knowledge, God gives them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with every unrighteousness, sexual perversion, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, depravity, whisperers, defamers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, without natural affection, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do them, but also approve of those who practice them. So, you dear listener, understand, there is, and there always will be, people who question God's word, who like to take anything from the book of Jonah, talking about Jonah, to talking about Job, to talking about Moses, to the Red Sea, to anything with Christ, to saying evolution is the truth instead of God's creation, as the Bible says. And they like to argue that so that they can say, well, the Bible is not completely true or it's not true at all, and therefore there's no account given to God. Well, here's the thing. Your eternity, your eternal soul, where your soul goes, largely depends on these. These are oftentimes people who their hearts are wicked, even if they don't seem wicked. And a lot of times they actually clearly see the evidence, as I had just read in Romans chapter 1, where and they understand this and they purposely ignore it. And I'm reading these books still by Bill Cooper. And it's going over the evidence of the Bible and all this stuff. They're great little books. And you can see clearly in there, these people absolutely know these things. And they'll even come across evidence that proves that the Bible is true. And all they'll do is lie or focus on things that they are using to say the Bible's not true, and totally ignoring the evidence that comes their way, proving that they're wrong. It's as if they never saw it. So the Bible is super important. It is God's word to humanity. It is the words of life. It is what you need to know, I need to know, and every individual on the face of the earth needs to know, because ultimately that's all that matters. That's all that's important, irregardless of how we do in this life for ourselves in terms of worldly things, in terms of how great our families are, or whatever it may be, whatever these goals and aspirations are. We should know that the Bible teaches we cannot take anything with us. When we die, according to the word of God, there is an afterlife, there is a judgment. If we are saved, if we have repented towards God and by faith believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God is preparing a place for us. Christ is preparing a mansion for us. But for those who are not saved, unfortunately, they will be cast into the lake of fire. And you can take a look at Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, and also take a look at Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, just as a couple little verses I'll toss out there. But the Bible is where it's at. The Bible, if that's all you have, and you simply believe God's word. I mean, honestly, I don't recommend doing Google searches on questions anymore, because there are so many people out there, even people with credentials, people with, you know, large followings or, you know, letters by their name, and respectful people giving very bad answers. I just simply, this ministry focuses on the Bible. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying I fully understand everything. I don't. But what I will tell you is that what I do is I completely believe the Word of God, and I simply preach and teach that which the Bible teaches, not wanting to add or subtract any single thing from that which God has provided, not just to me, but to you also. That is the thing to focus on, is the Bible. That's the only thing that you can honestly trust. That is the ultimate truth. You can visit the website at allwillstand.org. And then you can also feel free to email me at tim@allwillstand.org. Till next time.